The Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefery.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefery's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefery.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefery, and this is episode number 84, a Christmas episode. And so we want to first start off by wishing you and your family the best Christmas, the best week. Hopefully you guys are getting some time away from the gym a little bit and having the ability to spend time with family and friends. And this is a big week for the McKeefery family. This is not only Christmas, obviously, which is a fantastic time of year, but it's also our daughter Maya's birthday. And so real excited about that. Turning 13, we'll have all teenagers in the house. And let the craziness begin. Iron Game Chalk Talk, for those of you who don't know, is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you haven't already done so, subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube, or join the mailing list at ronmckeefery.com so you can stay up to date with the latest guests and anything else that we have going on. Real excited to have Cliff Marshall with us this week. Cliff is a good buddy of mine. Last year we had John Feinman on for the Christmas episode, and they're doing the inner city weightlifting there in Boston. And Cliff is the performance director for Ignition. And as you all know, Ignition is a sponsor of the show. I can't say enough about them, their company, their brand, the way that they're going about their business, focusing on the mind, body, and spirit, which is what I'm all about. And they do a fantastic job. But one of the things that Cliff does is they do a program they call Church in the Street, where they go around Cincinnati and feed the homeless, and they do this year round. It's not just Christmas time and all that, but you know, it's one of those things where I always want to use this show as a way to encourage, to motivate, and to challenge strength and conditioning coaches and to use our platform. And we have such a great platform, and Cliff does this annually, year-round, where they go out, they feed the homeless, and I've had the opportunity to go out with them, and you would just simply be blown away by, you know, the living conditions and what goes on all around us that, you know, we don't even think about. I talk about it in the show. There's less than a block away from the practice field that you could see from the practice field, there was three homeless guys living under an overpass, and just stuff that you hear about, but you never really fully understand unless you see. And so we talk about the Church in the Street program and what they're doing there in Cincinnati. We obviously talk about the company, but you know, the biggest thing is talking about having an impact on your athletes' lives. And they use their programs, they use their platform with Church in the Street and things like that to make a profound impact on their players' lives, which is what it's all about, you know. And so, you know, one thing you'll hear about from us in 2015 is our foundation called Adoption Game Plan. And as many of you know, my wife and I, we adopted three kids from the Ukraine, one from Honduras. And, you know, we've always had a heart to help children internationally, especially. And, you know, it's one of those things where it was one of the hardest things I ever did was walking away from an orphanage with hundreds of kids screaming, "Mama and Papa just want an opportunity in life, wanting a home." And broke our heart. So we started Adoption Game Plan. It's basically a program to help families that have a coaching families that have a heart for adoption come up with the funds and things like that. So we'll talk more about that in 2015, but wanted to give you a preview. If you are interested in adoption, let us know, and we'll definitely get you some more information. But You know, the biggest thing, like I said, from this episode is finding the opportunity to challenge each of us to make 2015 the best year possible. And so real excited about that. Go online, go to our different social media sites, share what you're looking forward to in 2015. We got a lot of things planned for us in Iron Game Chalk Talk, including two new sponsors, Sorenex and Play. Play is back with us in the third year here. And obviously we all know about Sorenex and what a great product they make, along with Ignition and Elite Form. Staples in our program. And so we have a ton of things planned. If you have guests that you would like to recommend, please do so. Send, again, use the social media sites to do that. And we'll definitely reach out to as many coaches as we can in the upcoming year. Excited about this episode. I want you to sit back, enjoy it, get inspired by it, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. That good-looking guy on the other side of the screen is Cliff Marshall, a good buddy of mine. You know, known Cliff for a while and got a chance to work with him last year and, you know, at Cincinnati and just a class act inside and out and a really close friend of mine. And so I'm excited to have you on the show, man.
Thank you so much, Ron. It's a joy to be here. I tell you, I try to watch your show every week, and you've had some phenomenal coaches on this show, and for me to be included this week, I'm greatly honored.
Well, this is always my favorite episode because we're shooting this a little bit beforehand, but this is a Christmas episode, so you know, we're going to get into some really neat stuff later on. But before we do, kind of, you know, Cliff, kind of go into your journey, man. How you got into strength and conditioning, and then kind of what's led you to Ignition.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I stumbled upon a VHS tape recently at my parents' house, and it was a senior night. My high school football career was coming to an end, and you had to state, you know, where were you going to go to college and what were you going to major in?
Oh, wow.
And I stated at 17 years old, I was going to go to college and major in physical education and become a coach. So I knew as a teenager that I wanted to be in fitness and I wanted to be in this strength conditioning field. I never imagined that God would bless me the way he's blessed me to this point and open up so many doors. My plan was really to be a high school PE teacher and a strength coach. But to make a long story short, I rode my brother's coattails up to the University of Louisville. He was a Division I football commit player, and he and I were very close, and I told him that, you know, I wanted to go to school where he went, and he started his football career there. And as I started school, I walked in the weight room one day and met Mike Kent. He was the head strength coach for football there. And I told Mike that I wanted to volunteer, that I would do anything possible to be a part of his staff, free of charge. I would mop the floors, you know, wipe down the mirrors and just, you know, watch him and learn from him. And he said yes. And so I was going in before class in the morning. And when I get out of school, I would come back in the afternoon for football practice. I did mop floors and wipe down mirrors, and I even worked in the video department. I videotaped practice from the end zone and helped digitize. And
I didn't know that.
I was a jack of all trades, man. But, you know, that opportunity there where I volunteered for a year ended up paying for a scholarship. They put me on scholarship at the University of Louisville. And after that, I became a graduate assistant. So I actually spent 4 years at the University of Louisville finishing my master's degree in phys ed and health. I left there and became a assistant strength coach on the Cincinnati Bengals staff for Chip Morton, which was huge for me because I was only 24 years old and working in the NFL.
Right.
So great guy. The door for me. And, you know, I left the Cincinnati Bengals in 2007 and became the performance director here at Ignition, where I continue to work to this day.
Ignition is a performance company in Cincinnati and phenomenal sponsor of the show, and we'll get into all that. But, you know, what it's a great place with a specific mission, and you know, they're doing it the right way. And so one of the things, in having a chance to, you know, to know you from the outside and then get a chance to work with you for a year, the thing that really always stood out to me the most was how you were able to develop these lasting, long, it's like, you know, I call you the governor, right? Every time I see you, I'm like, it's Governor Marshall right there. Because you know everybody, and everybody loves you, you know, and that's a testament to you and the type of commitment that you have to people's, what's exactly on the back of your wall there, mind, body, and spirit. And you commit fully to your athletes, and they turn commit fully to you. Give some tips, for strength coaches, because ultimately that's how you get them to do what you want them to do. You don't have a carrot as a strength coach. You don't control playing time and things like that. So, how are you able to motivate your athletes to be uncomfortable? And then not only after the fact that you've worked with them, but, a year later, 2 years later, they're still calling you, and there's really a true friendship there.
Well, this is a relationship business that we're in when you think about it. I can look back on my history, as I just told you, and for every job opportunity I ever got, it's because of a relationship. A coach knew a coach. And that's kind of the way we built the program here at Ignition, specifically the NFL training program, is through relationships. The first year I started training NFL athletes here, in 2007, we had four athletes that were NFL players. Now we've had more than 250 on all 32 rosters. And as I think about that, it's just one relationship led to the next, mm-hmm. from an NFL agent to an NFL agent, from one player to another player. And, developing that relationship takes work, and it takes an effort each and every day. And I think what we've done here on the relationship side is that we've treated all of our athletes with respect. And what I mean by that is, we train athletes here from youth all the way to the Pro Bowl level. So, Luke Kuechly, we want to love Luke Kuechly the same way we want to love a JV football player just trying to make the team.
Right.
As athletes, as agents, as coaches, as parents see that, they respect you more. So I would say, respect all of your athletes and understand that relationship there. And it takes follow-up. It does take work. It takes text messaging and checking in. But yes, relationships number one. And I think results number two. So I would say, again, the program here has been built off relationships and results. And what I mean by the results is, that's the business that we're in, getting athletes faster, stronger, better. So we're really big on numbers, mm-hmm. pre-season, post-season, and having the athletes buy in with confidence as they see themselves improve. And if they know they're going to come to your facility or they're going to come to your weight room and they're going to see improvements, then they're more apt to come back and they're more apt to have that confidence.
Absolutely. Well, I want to deep dive into that a little bit because you said the follow-up part, and I agree with that 100%. But, as strength coaches, you work a 12, 14-hour day most days, and it's like the last thing you want to do is make a phone call or kind of allocate that time to try to stay in touch. Do you have any kind of, is there any kind of intrinsic type of, if I see something on the TV, I'm going to text right then and there? Or is it like I'm going to make 5 contacts every day? Is there anything internally that kind of drives you to do that?
Yeah, I think two things. I think social media has really helped me because the ability to interact with your athlete on Twitter and even Facebook by tagging them in a photo, comments below, that's made it a lot easier for me because you look up and you've got so many athletes, so many parents and agents that you're talking to. So social media has helped. And then the other thing I do is sometimes I just pray in the morning, Lord, who do you want me to reach out to? And a lot of times it's the athlete who's, not on the team. Our nature is that you want to reach out to the athlete that's doing really, really, really good in his sport right now.
Right.
Your Major League Baseball All-Star or your NFL Pro Bowl. But a lot of times the Lord leads me to reach out to the players who are in the struggle. I just recently talked to a player who trained a couple years ago for the NFL draft. He was a Heisman contender, and he's fell on hard times. He's had some injuries that he's battled through, and right now he's without a team. He's having some struggles with his agent, so I was led to call him, and we end up talking about 45 minutes, and that's what I talk about, those relationships.
Right.
Maintain.
No, I think it's important, and one of the things that I want to kind of to single out there is, like you said, whether or not it's the Pro Bowler or the 7-year-old, you're still treating them the same way, and I think as strength coaches, we do the same thing, or we have the opportunity to do the same thing. With like our walk-ons, so many times, I've never been a guy with my programs that have excluded those guys
from normal training. And there's programs, it's like, okay, I got a walk-on group and then I got everybody else. And I mean, I get the understanding of that, but you know, what I've learned through my years of coaching is that, you know, that star on the football team, they're probably friends. I mean, they probably hang out with one of those walk-ons outside of the building, you know, and if they see you treating them differently and see you treating them differently, they're perceptive now. They pick up on that. And I truly believe our athletes here especially know that when they, you know, it doesn't matter if you're the first string or the fourth string or if you're the, you know, the star or not, we're going to treat you the same way. And our expectations and our standards are the same way. And I think that gains more respect from those star athletes when you do that. And so I couldn't agree more, you know, with you.
Yeah, it makes total sense, and you're exactly right. Athletes pick up on it, you know, and I've learned that over time. You know, I can't tell you that I've always had this philosophy or I've always, you know, treated athletes the same, because I have. And I've learned over time. A lot of what I've learned as a strength conditioning coach is not anything I read in a book. It's by trial and error.
Sure.
And I've made a lot of, mistakes in this profession, but I've learned from it.
No doubt. Well, one of the things that, and like I said, this is my favorite episode of the year because, you know, what I love about our field, what I love about working with athletes is that you have such a great opportunity to make an impact on your community, you know. And so, you know, last year, we're walking out one day and you said, hey, man, let's go feed the homeless tonight. You know, I got a program that we're working on. And now it's evolved into it's church on the street, but it's basically you've gone around, you've identified a need in Cincinnati where there's, I mean, I don't know the statistics, but several hundred homeless people in the city. What is it? Every Thursday night, every, you know, Wednesday night, whatever it is, you're going around with a group of people and handing out gloves and handing out coats and blankets and food and, just a tremendous program. And, you know, this time of year, it's easy to think about, you know, others, you know, for these couple of weeks, you know, cause it kind of gets there, but doing it year round is something that's admirable and, something that we need to continue to do. And so, Please talk about the program, kind of how you got into it, how you identified the need, and then how did you say, hey, you know what, let's roll with this, you know, let's use our platform, whatever that may be, to help provide an answer to a need.
Yeah, Ron, in its simplest form, I have been blessed, and we have been blessed at Ignition to be a blessing, and I think a lot of strength coaches throughout the country have been blessed. And, you know, for us to be able to use that platform to impact others is really, at the end of the day, what it's all about. Personally, my wife and I were felt convicted initially because we weren't doing a lot outside of our church. Outside the four walls of a church building, we weren't ministering or helping a lot of people. So I partnered with a group here in Cincinnati called Focus Ministries. And my wife and I started traveling out with them about September of last year, once a week. To do church on the streets, you know, and to love and to minister and to feed on those who need help. And then it hit me in about January that, you know, we have this platform of pro athletes who need, number one, to use that platform, and number two, need to be impacted. Because I think you can speak from your own experience, but you go out as if you're going to impact somebody else, you walk away as being more impacted.
No doubt.
And, you know, the NFL Combine athletes that we had last year here in Cincinnati, we started going to visit homeless camps in the city once a week and feeding and developing relationships with those homeless people. And that in turn ended up where we were bringing out a lot of our Cincinnati Bengals players in the city who were ministering. And it's just amazing to see. It's one thing when you have a pastor or even myself who is maybe sharing an encouraging word on the streets of Cincinnati. It's something totally different when you have a Cincinnati Bengals player with this huge platform and he's sharing a message to these homeless people. So we have seen on certain nights 200 to 300 homeless people come forward, some giving their lives to Christ and others just being so glad that they've been able to meet a pro athlete. So autographs are given out A lot of the pro athletes will, you know, spend $1,000 on food and feed these people. And I'll be honest with you, Ron, it's life changing. It is. It can be done in any city. It can be done on any university campus. People are in need of help, and we have been blessed to be a blessing.
Well, you know, it's such a, I mean, you hit it right on the head with, you know, one of our core values here is to be impact men, and to, like you said, I mean, you get so much in return for providing whatever you can, whatever that is you can provide. You know, not, it doesn't always have to be money, and it doesn't always have to be time, but whatever that, you know, that is, it always comes back tenfold. And, you know, I was blown away. I mean, I went out with you, and you know, we're sitting on, you know, we're going around and we're driving to these homeless camps, and it's, I mean, it's crazy to think, you know, you're driving up on this and there's, you know, 20, 30 people in these camps that are like right down the road from where you're living. And, you know, and all of a sudden we take a turn and you're looking, and it's like, man, there's the stadium. Well, man, there's the practice fields, you know, and, you know, right behind the practice fields, there was an overpass where there was three people that were living under this overpass. And it's like, man, you're there every single day and you have no idea what's going on around you and the trials and the tribulations that people are facing. And you want to talk about having a sense of just, you know, that you've been blessed, you know, in your life and appreciation for what you have and things along those lines. And, you know, it wakes you up, you know, in a big, big way. And, you know, the reason why I wanted you to come on the show and the reason why I wanted to share this message is because, you know, as strength coaches, we have an obligation, I believe, you know, and I think most of the people that went into this profession wanted to make a difference in young people's lives, you know, and that doesn't happen inside just the four walls of the weight room or the four walls of a church. It happens outside of those walls, you know. And, you know, I made the statement a while back that got picked up a little bit, and it was like the biggest impact you, or the best times that you have with your athlete shouldn't be in the weight room as a strength coach, you know. It should be outside the weight room. And, you know, what a powerful way to develop a relationship, what you talked about earlier in a relationship business. What a powerful way to develop a relationship with your athletes. And so, I mean, I can't say enough about what you guys are doing there with that program. And it's grown from, like you said, just a few, but now, you know, there's several athletes that are looking forward to it each week, right?
Yes, they are. And I think they want to be a part of it just because it keeps everything in perspective. You know, even as coaches, so oftentimes we get caught up in wins and losses or maybe how our guys are performing in the weight room. You know, our pro athletes during combine, they're so focused on what round am I going to be drafted? What's my 40 time going to be? You know, what teams are talking to me versus what aren't? And when you go out in that setting, it puts everything in perspective, and it allows you to see the bigger picture. And one of my mentors is actually Tom Arrington. He owns Ignition. He's in his 70s. One of the world's greatest businessmen. He's lived a life in pharmaceuticals and been very successful. And I'll never forget, early in my career here at Ignition, we had a guy get drafted in the first round, and he ran a 4.3 40-yard dash at the combine. So, you know.
Felt pretty good, right?
Yeah, as a strength coach, I was feeling pretty good about myself. And I approached Mr. Arrington and said, hey, you know, guess what? We had a first-round draft pick this year. You know, he ran a 4.3 40. He shot up draft boards, and he stopped me and said, Cliff, congratulations. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for Ignition. But I just want to remind you that when you die and go and see God, he's not going to ask you how many first-round draft picks you had. He's not going to ask you how many 4.3 40s you had. He's going to ask you, what did you do for my kingdom while you were on earth, number one. And number two, how did you love your athlete and impact your athlete? So that is something that I always keep in the back of my mind as we're working every day here at Ignition.
Oh, what a fantastic! And that's why, again, I mean, you know, when looking for sponsors for the show, which Ignition is a sponsor, and what's awesome about the fact is A, I don't just take on sponsors; I take on people that I either deal with or believe in, and you know, and what's fantastic about the company is obviously the fact that they're committed to the strength coach. I mean, it's easy as a performance company to be like, yeah, you know, they're doing it all wrong. We're, you know, come train here 6 weeks. We're going to make you, you know, that's absolutely not the case. You know, and we've talked quite a bit even before really knowing each other about, you know, athletes and how, you know, the relationship part of it and understanding the athlete and that you're an extension of 4 years of training or 2 years of training or whatever it may be. And, you know, like I said, if you have not checked out Ignition, you know, it's a fantastic company and multifaceted, you know, between, like you said, the parent company being a pharmaceutical company and having the supplement line and having some equipment line and speed certifications and all those types of things. There's a little bit for everybody, but more importantly, the people behind the brand are the thing that stands out, you know, and so I can't thank you enough for what you guys do for the show, for what you do for strength coaches, but what you're doing in the community as well is the most important part. So I appreciate that. So Cliff, I want to get into some training real quick and question about training. And obviously Ignition is built on, you know, speed development and that's kind of the big, not selling. Let me start that over.
That's fine.
All right, Cliff, I want to get in a little bit of training here. So let's talk a little bit about speed, man. I mean, obviously, you guys have done a fantastic job. You've had numerous athletes go and do extremely well at the combine and perform extremely well. And I know you and I have had this conversation a million times about, you know the credit and how it all comes about and the journey and the process, but you know, one of the questions I got for you is, you know, you get these athletes that have either, they've come from a melting pot of different training programs, different philosophies, you know, and you have about a 6 week, 8 week time frame to kind of blend it all together and put them in their best position to be successful. And I know your approach is a team approach. It's you, it's the strength coach, it's the coaching staff, the whole deal, but talk about a little bit about the training program, what, you know, some of our listeners can take away about how do you make the most impact, the most bang for your buck in a six-week program?
Well, I think you, first and foremost, when you get these athletes, and I'm sure you've heard it before, they're coming off a bowl game. So after a 12-game season, they're beat up.
Right.
You've got to get them healthy. You've got to get them moving around and feeling good 100%. You know, get their strength levels back up, and then beginning you know, to work on their biomechanics. You know, we always test our athletes out, you know, first week, if they're able, you know, get that measurement on them, pre-test evaluation, sit down with the athlete and go over their goals as to where they want to be based on their height and weight and what their position groups did last year at the combine. And then it's a systematic approach from there. Literally every single day, sets and reps are planned out. This will be my 8th year doing combine training, so I've got notes from year one. And I continue to keep my notes every year and go back to those. But it's really individualized, too. You know, you have that plan, but sometimes you may have to be here all.
Mm-hmm.
And got a great staff here with Coach Ben Kramer and others that are helping me with that program each and every day. I think what I've learned is, over the years, it's the total effort. A lot of times training facilities get too much credit when an athlete does good, and too much blame when an athlete doesn't do so good. And I think what has helped me is that I've worked at that Division I college level, and I've been around strength coaches who have worked to develop a redshirt freshman all the way up to a senior year. Then to watch him leave and go to some training facility for 5 or 6 weeks, that all of a sudden gets all the credit when the athlete blows the combine up.
Right.
And it's not the case at all. It's again, the total body effort from the strength coach on campus and also the training facility. You know, a couple of years ago, I trained a Missouri Tiger, and it was really impressive that Pat Ivey, their director of strength conditioning there, actually sent me a handwritten letter stating, you know, this is the athlete's strengths, this is the athlete's weakness, and where he needs to improve based on what the NFL scouts are telling him. And that's the, in my opinion, the way it should work is that the performance facility should work hand in hand with the strength coach on campus.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, what happens is, and this is the conversation I just had with our players was, you know, you got a full-time job and then some, right? Getting the team ready for the next season. And so to have an extra, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours a day to spend with a group of players that are going on, it becomes awfully difficult to from a time demand standpoint. And so in a lot of ways, I encourage our athletes to go elsewhere, because it really I just don't have the time to really break things down. And like I said, what I've always respected about you is it's that research. It's finding out what those strengths and weaknesses are, and it's completely an extension of the program, as opposed to like everything you did was wrong, you know, that type of thing. And talk a little bit about, you know, like a normal combine day. You know, so maybe some of these guys, you know, they can't leave, and these strength coaches are you know, need to create a program for their athletes that are sticking on campus. What would a normal combine day look like for you? And then maybe if you were back at Louisville, the Division I setting, how would you set it up?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, a normal day here at Ignition would start at about 8:30 with breakfast, and then at 9 o'clock we have a team meeting. And during the meeting, we go over the itinerary for the day and maybe review some things from the day before. So our first training session will start right after that and goes right up to about 11:30. Then we then sit down with our athletes and have lunch together as a group. And during that lunch, it's very important because we're dictating how many calories, how many grams of carbohydrate versus protein. So they're in that controlled environment. In the afternoon, we'll go back and hit our plyometric and weight training workout in the weight room at about 1:30 and finish up at around 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, we go to mandatory hot tub, cold tub recovery workouts, and that will lead us right into our dinner in the evenings. Again, our staff is sitting with the players at dinner to make sure we see what they're eating and what they're not eating. And then we finish each night probably around 6:30. 7 o'clock, and a lot of times in the evenings we have, you know, Wonderlic training, or we'll have some sports psychology. We may also do interview skills training, where we videotape the athletes in the interview process and how they should handle themselves at All-Star games and even at the combine. So it's really, the athletes are in a controlled environment throughout probably 10 hours of the day, and that's the biggest reason why we see amazing results in 6 weeks. I mean, right. Last year we had guys on 15 pounds of lean muscle mass. We had guys lose 15 pounds. You know, we've had guys take more than three tenths off their 40 time. But a lot of that's because we have them in a controlled environment, not just 2 hours out of the day.
Right.
Nothing against the college strength coach. Nothing at all. They're very capable of doing the same job I am. To your point, their hands are tied, though, because they don't have 10 hours in a day. They only have a 2-hour block.
Right.
The athletes in.
Well, is that 3 days a week, 4 days a week?
It's traditionally a 4-day-a-week program, but on Wednesdays, which is more of a recovery day, we still have them here throughout the day. It's just more of a yoga, pool workout. You know, on that day, we do a Bible study, some mentorship with them. And then Saturday morning, we have a workout, and we give them Saturday afternoon and Sunday off.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in those, maybe let's dive into the 40 specifically, what is, you know, something that you're seeing as a current trend, maybe an improvement that, you know, college strength coaches can make, that you're seeing kind of constantly? It's always like, I'm always seeing them false step, or I'm always seeing them have their hand outside their frame, you know. And I know, you know, I was lucky last year, I was able to sit through your guys' speed certification, which is fantastic, and I'd recommend to anybody. But, you know, we sat there quite a bit, and you really dive into that. But what would be a normal common mistake, I guess, by the athletes and coaches maybe?
Yeah, I think that sometimes we get ahead of ourselves in training for the 40-yard dash. There has to be a systematic approach from just the basic stance to the first step, to the first 5 yards, mastering the 10, and over time getting up to that 40-yard dash. As they're peaking. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and we rush it. The athlete's not ready for that. I think the other trend that we're seeing is technology is improving. And we are using technology. technology every single day in our weight room, on the field, to break down the biomechanics of each athlete. So early in the program, you know, we're really big on coaching the athlete up, teaching our systematic approach, breaking the videotape down with them after their 10-yard sprint. They'll come over and watch it with the coach on the spot, on the field. We can do that because we only bring in 15 guys for combine training every year. We break them into two groups. You know, we have 4 to 5 full-time coaches around here at all times. So it's the player-to-coach ratio is phenomenal, and we can do a lot of that type of stuff. So I would say those two things, you know, having that systematic approach, that plan, and then doing a lot of video technology work with the athlete for biomechanical.
Yeah, you mentioned technology, and you talked about testing on the early end. I know, you know, just in knowing you outside the show, I mean, you use the FitLite system for testing, and you also use it in your reactive agility components as well. You know, talk a little bit about, you know, what tests you guys, you know, measure, and then maybe, you know, some of the equipment that you use to do that.
Yeah, for sure. So we just invested in FitLite technology. It's a system that's been around for a while. I actually met those guys, Mark and Hollis, a couple years ago at a comp. But, you know, what we were looking for is, number one, a really good laser timing system, and they use an infrared beam to time 10, 20, 40-yard sprints. But in addition to that, that same unit can be used to train and test reaction and first step quickness. So if you think about it, we can test power, we can test speed, we can test agility, but we are now able to test reaction with a number of different tests that FitLite has. We can test hand-eye coordination and reaction, and we can have our athletes, you know, competing against one another. We can test that reaction preseason, postseason, every offseason. I mean, we're blessed to have Luke Kuechly as one of our biggest clients, and SportsCenter just recently had a feature on him where he was training here at Ignition using tennis balls. And the question was asked to Luke, can reaction be trained? Or is it just it's just something that you've been blessed with? And his comment was, it's both. You know, I've been blessed with first step quickness and reaction, but I do a lot of training in the offseason at Ignition in Cincinnati you know, for that reaction. So traditionally we've used color cones, tennis balls, but now we're really excited because the FitLite system comes with 8 high LED lights that are going to be used in our training really every day now. And I tell you what, our youth athletes absolutely love it because to them it's almost a game. Although they're competing and getting better, it's a game. You almost have to turn the lights out and tell them to go home because they want to stay around and play on the
field. No doubt. Well, that's not just the 7-year-olds. That's the college and the pro guys too.
That's true.
Is it with using a system like that? You know, outside of the traditional combine test, is there anything that you've added to your testing battery? Just from a say, this is going to make you a better football player.
Yeah, we're in the process of that. We've only had the system for 2 weeks, so we are using a reaction test where the athlete right now is just in a 2-point stance. And over a course of time, a certain number of lights will go off, and we will time how quickly they can hit those lights.
Okay.
So that's just we're on the very beginning stages of using the system and trying to figure out the test that we want to use. The cognitive awareness aspect of it is really, really cool. I'm also working with a handful of people to try to develop, you know, some return to play protocols, even as it deals with concussions. You know, with the FitLite system. So 23 NBA teams are using the FitLite system now. However, only one NFL team, to my knowledge, is using it. So I think there's a lot of work that can be done with football players on the system.
Well, that's good, man. We'll link that up as well. And you know, it's neat to see what technology is doing for coaches. And as long as you can implement it in a way that makes it non-invasive to your programming, that's always great. So I know that that's working for you. So I'll make sure to link that up. You know, hey, Cliff, we kind of end the show here with some resources. So give me the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received.
You know, I mentioned it earlier. I'm the coach I am today because of the people who have been around me and the coaches who have been around me and the athletes who've made me. So, you conversations I've had with guys like yourself, and I'm honored and blessed to go down and work for Chip Morton, the head strength coach for the Bengals, once a week, and that is just an opportunity for me to soak in knowledge from him.
Yep.
And learn from him and his staff, and even our staff here around Ignition. You know, again, I'm not the guy who's into the books enough and learning new techniques, but I'm so blessed to have the staff around me here at Ignition, four full-time coaches who are. So I learn from them a lot. And, you know, I think the first quote that I would like to talk about was the one Mike Kent gave me as a young strength coach when I was talking about program design.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped me one day in my tracks and said, Cliff, your way is not the only way. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I've always remembered that as I'm writing programs or I'm talking to coaches or other performance trainers. It's that, you know, our way is not the only way. You know, there is more than one way to skin a cat. I think another quote that I would use personally is a quote that my freshman football coach gave me in high school. And my nickname was Cliffy in high school. And he said, would tell me all the time, just be the best Cliffy Marshall you can be. That still stands true today. Be the best Cliffy Marshall you can be at home as a father, as a husband, as a performance director at Ignition. You know, just be the best Cliffy Marshall you can be. Do your best and let God do the rest. And then I think as a whole, there's a scripture that we use here at Ignition, 1 Timothy 4:8, that keeps everything in perspective for me. And it says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for the present life and life to come. So every day interacting with athletes is that, yes, the physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, for the present life and the life to come. Those are probably, you know, three. I know you wanted one, but that's probably three that I really, you know, on each and every day.
Well, that's awesome. You know, I'm a big quote guy, so I love that. What about, you know, and it doesn't have to be one either, but, you know, a book, app, and website recommendation that you have for coaches?
You know, the book, I would say, 2 years ago, I was at a CrossFit gym, a very successful CrossFit gym in Naples, Florida, and I noticed some exercises they were doing in there. Started dialoguing with the head coach there, and he told me it came from a book called Supple Leopard. Later on, I was in the Bengals weight room one day, and you happen to have that book in there with you. So we ended up ordering that book here at Ignition, and we are actually using that a lot with our athletes on recovery days or even pre-workout versus post-workout.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love the book Supple Leopard. I think another book that's a must for us that we use with all of our athletes here during our NFL training is called The Purpose-Driven Life. It's by Pastor Rick Warren. It, again, allows us to look at the big picture, and you ask yourself critically, what on earth am I here for? And that's a book that we really share with a lot of our athletes. I think an app, you know, honestly, the app that I use the most, and I'm not going to try to self-promote here, but Ignition has developed an app called the Ignition Challenger Band app. It is a free app on your iPhone or Android device that we use with our athletes. It has over 100 different exercises used with the resistance bands that we've created, from flexibility to strength, stamina, shoulder prehab movements. There's actually a 60-day challenge on there that we've got some people taking part in right now that tells you every day sets and reps. The videos are very interactive. So that is the app I would recommend. The website I would recommend is, right now I've been studying a lot on www.up.nfl.com. I was blessed this year to accept a position with the NFL as a fitness ambassador. So what we do is write articles every week. Myself, NFL athletes, and other performance coaches throughout the country. We also do a lot of workouts. As a matter of fact, we just released one today. Kevin Zeitler, a first-round draft pick of the Bengals. It's a workout that's specific to offensive linemen that he and I shot a couple weeks ago. And it's just so many great videos from phenomenal performance coaches throughout the country can be found on that website. And again, it's free content for people who are interested in that. And I'll be honest, the other one that I'm listening to a lot or visiting a lot is RonMcKeefrey.com because it's a blessing to drive to work. I've got a 45-minute commute to and from work every day. So to go to your website and hear from some of the speakers you've had on, it's been been awesome, so I visit that website quite often.
I appreciate that, man. I really do. Well, buddy, you know, like I said, you know, the what's important to me and in my life is surrounding myself with people that lift, that make me better, you know, and I'm fortunate to have worked and had great mentors like Chip Morton and some of the similar mentors that Jeff Friday and some of the similar mentors that you have had as well. But you're in that class, man. I truly believe that I'm a better person for knowing Cliff Marshall and being associated with Ignition and Ben and the rest of the gang over there. And you guys are doing it the right way, man. And it challenges me as a strength coach each and every day to do it the right way as well. And can't thank you enough, man, for what you do for the show, what you do for the community, and truly appreciate you. In all those areas, man. And so this being a Christmas episode, man, Merry Christmas. You got a baby probably that is going to happen before this airs. And all the best in 2015, man.
Thanks so much, Ron. It means a lot. Again, you'd have me on here. Getting back to that relationship piece that I talked on earlier, you know, the fact that you were in Cincinnati with the Bengals last year was such a blessing to be able to know you, work with you, and develop friendship. That's what the profession is all about. And
no doubt,
all the viewers out there, I'd encourage you, please shoot me an email or let's connect on the social media. And I'd love to meet you, love meeting new people. And thank you guys so much for tuning in today. It means a lot to me.
Absolutely, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a good day, man.
See you, buddy. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out RonMcKeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @RMcKeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @Ron.McKeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.